Driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal Maybach. Diamonds on your timepiece. Jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair. And we'll never be royals. It's a run in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee. My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows us knows.
Mic check, mic check. Good evening, Dominican University and all those listening worldwide. It's DJ KP on the mic, live at 6 p.m. And this is study time at radio.dominican.edu. Just going to go over 3 points today about studying that I would hope would help you all. But first, I'm going to start out on a personal struggle I was having this week just with procrastinating, which affects all of us. And the points that I want to go over, I was writing an essay, which is the bulk of what we mostly do at this university and most universities. And being a student athlete, it's hard to kind of balance that all together. That's one of the points I'll kind of touch up on later in the show. But I just wanted to focus on just my personal experience of procrastination this week. So I had this paper that was assigned a little while ago, I'd say probably 3 weeks ago. I'm not going to specifically say what class it was for, but at the same time that this was assigned, I had actually two projects going on. I'm working my job, and I'm working for my lacrosse team. I'm an athlete and doing my sport. So as time went on, it just kind of slipped my mind, unfortunately, because I've been kind of coming on the show preaching for the past few shows on how important it is not to procrastinate. And I know that we aren't all perfect, and even me, I preach about this every Tuesday, talking about not procrastinating, of course. First thing I start this week off is, right before coming to the show, just trying to crank out this 5-page essay, doing a research paper, and creating a slideshow for this whole speech. I had to crank that out in probably 3 hours, and I can't do the best work that I could do just because I waited till that last minute to work on it. It's not good at all. The night before today, I was also cranking out another math project. So I had two examples of procrastinating, which is really not good. And I just want everyone to kind of learn from my mistakes. I got the papers due on time, but it was really stressful just trying to do all that the night before. And if you fall behind, this is another kind of topic I want to touch into, make sure that you're as respectful as possible when you're turning in late assignments, because it's already bad enough that you're late on the assignment, and you're probably going to lose points, and that kind of turns a lot of people off, because they're kind of angry, they're like, they don't really want to blame themselves, they want to say, well, I'm losing points on this, I don't want to be respectful, I don't want to go through all that work. But it's really important to be as respectful as you can when you're coming in to turn in that paper. Don't be loud, don't be obnoxious, don't try to fight with your professor on losing points. It's just going to lead to more hurt in the future, and you need to develop good relationships with your teachers if you want to get those good grades. Because if you're being disrespectful, if you're being late, if you're procrastinating, teachers remember that at the end of the year when they're putting in your grades. And when you're close, borderline B, A, C, B, whatever it is, and your teacher remembers those, either if it's a single time or it's a couple times where if you've had a late assignment, you haven't shown good character, you've been a little disrespectful, maybe they've had to kind of straighten you out. They remember that kind of stuff. So it's important to just have a personal relationship with your teacher. That's extremely, extremely important. And another thing, because email has become such a huge part of college, before in high school we didn't really use email that much. And now I think I use it, I check email probably 3 times a day. And it's really important to be polite and know how to write the correct email. Because in high school, I never got to learn any of that. They never taught me how to write a polite, correct email. I probably looked pretty ignorant in some of my earlier emails in my earlier teenage years because I didn't know how to put a correct sign-off at the end. I didn't know how to start a correct email. I didn't know what was the correct things to say to an adult or a superior to myself. Like when you're starting, you can't talk in a formal manner like I probably did. I was like, hey dude, what's going on? Just wanted to, like, it can't be like a text message. It needs to be very formal. And you just, or me personally, I had to do research on all that. I need to figure out how to write the correct email. I think most universities know, I mean, university students know now how to write the best emails possible. And this is kind of just for anyone who's listening outside of the university as well. If you're coming, make sure you know how to write good, strong emails to get your point across and to be polite. And just going back a little bit on being late also, you want to make sure you're emailing your professors and talking to them about if you're going to be late or if you're having problems, because professors will understand that. If you have maybe an emergency or anything along those lines, and they will not get mad at you if you had a hospital visit or anything. That's understandable, but just do not lie to your professors because they will catch you. It'll happen. That's probably the worst thing you can do, is lie to them about whether it's missing an appointment, having a late assignment, anything along those lines. It's the worst thing you can do. So going back a little bit more, just back to my personal struggle now that I've kind of gone off course. I turned in my math paper, luckily, after all that procrastinating. It wasn't late, thank goodness. But talking a little bit about lying, I couldn't really lie. A lot of papers I've done in the past, if I do it the night before, I might put a fake date on there of maybe an earlier time to make it look like I didn't procrastinate to the last second. But on this one, I just realized I need to be blunt and kind of put that, yeah, this paper was kind of done the morning of or the day before. Which, it really shouldn't happen. Considering my show is all about being good students, I need to follow those tips myself as well. I can't come on here and preach to you just to be perfect, because I'm not perfect myself. So after that, I'm going to take my first break and play a little song for you, and then I'm going to have my guest Lily come on after the break, and she's going to talk a little bit about health sciences again. And after that, I'm going to talk a little bit about balancing being a student athlete and the kind of struggles I go through experiencing that. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu with DJ KP. Stick around.
It could be you. It could be me. Working the door, drinking for free, carrying on with your conspiracies, filling the room with a sense of unease, vague conversations on a non-existent telephone, like the words of a man who spent a little too much time. Oh,
DJ KP, I am back with my guest, Lily.
Hello.
And before she kind of starts talking, I'm going to talk a little bit about balancing being a student athlete. Because as I've said in earlier shows, I am on the lacrosse team here at Dominican University. And at times it can be hard to play a sport and get schoolwork done. But as I've kind of emphasized for myself personally, I always say that academics come first before sports. And it's always really important for me just to say that again to myself every time, just say that I need to do academics first, sports come second. And that's kind of where I got lost earlier, because I was procrastinating on those projects because I was kind of just focusing on lacrosse because our first game is coming up this weekend. And I was thinking so much of this game and focusing so much on practice, and I was so tired getting back, just falling asleep pretty much. And then before I knew it, these projects just kind of jumped up on me without warning, and then I had to cram it all in. Kind of like how I was talking about before the break. And one way to balance that, I would just say, is finding time between practice to do what it is you need to do, whether it's school-wise, whether you have a job like I'm working for the athletics department here doing cinematography and various other things, just finding that time between practice and your academics is very important. And same for your job, just finding that time. Even though it's really hard to do that, it's doing the hard thing, which is the right thing to do, and getting those projects done. So Lily, I'm going to bring you on, and I want you to pretty much be here again for the heavier workloads. I know you are in the honors program.
Yes.
And do you want to just talk from an honors student standpoint, because I'm not an honors student personally myself, just about what it takes to get to that level and how hard it is to stay there?
I mean, I procrastinate a lot too. It just kind of like more consequences, I guess, and I don't know, since I've been in college, I've tried not to procrastinate as much and to, like, not let it get out of hand, just trying to, like, always stay on top of things. But I had, like, a midterm this week, and I kind of put that off for the till the last minute studying, so I definitely crammed for that one.
Mm-hmm. Kind of similar to myself.
Yeah.
Just kind of cramming it all. I had the big history midterm as well for the general ed, mm-hmm. and luckily I wasn't procrastinating on that. I talked about this the first show, since we have that online book, I was able to just study periodically over time, so that helped a lot. But
right.
For you didn't have that book,
right?
So did you just do what we've kind of talked about last show, is the classic flashcards?
Yeah, our teacher gave us a study guide, so I just went off of that and like reviewed all that. But yeah, I definitely do procrastinate as well.
Yeah, just personal experience, like I was talking about myself, procrastinating is really bad. We stress a lot not to do it, but we're all kind of victims of it there. And
it's not really the projects and like turn in work I procrastinate with. It's more of the like studying and stuff that I don't really have anything to show for it.
Yeah. I'm okay with the studying, but the projects part is which I have issues on. When you're doing a big project, it's easy to want to start late and not chip away at it, because you see how immense say an essay is, like a 5-page essay. You don't really want to start it just because of how big it is,
right?
And you need to just chip away at it slowly at a time. So the day you get assigned it, you should just like
start small and just each day work on it a
little
bit.
You should just scribble some stuff down, and like I said, it's doing the hard thing that's the right thing. That's kind of something I wanted to stress.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah, it's doing the hard thing, because like you, after your class, you want to just relax. Like I said, after athletics, I just want to go to sleep, really. By the time I get out, I eat, I take a shower, and by that time, I'm feeling good, and I just want to go to bed.
Right.
But I need
There's
to do
more
the
to do,
thing.
Yeah.
And if you just, after you get assigned that assignment the first time, if you just kind of scribble down some notes on just like an outline, like I was saying, an essay, if you just scribble some notes down, you would probably be a lot better in the long run, just kind of going at it one at a time, spending maybe an hour or two on those upcoming weeks, and then it wouldn't be such a big to-do at the end like it happened for me today. When I had the whole project just to do, I didn't have an idea of what I was doing. I just kind of jumped into it and was typing. Luckily, it was on a topic that I wanted to do, which made it a lot easier. And I kind of want to talk about choosing topics that interest you and how much easier it makes in doing your work. So the hobby that I really like to do is surfing. And I chose that for my essay, and it kind of saved me because I was able to do my essay really fast because I knew a lot about it. But if you want to kind of talk about that a little bit too, just choosing something that you like maybe I know that you like dance or something along those
lines.
Yeah,
it's definitely a lot easier to write about something or give a presentation on something that you're passionate about and that you enjoy doing. It's less of a chore and more like interesting to you because you can find out new stuff about whatever that thing is. Mm-hmm. And it just, when something's more interesting, it's just...
It makes it easier
to
do.
Yeah, it just makes it, yeah. Easier and more fun.
Yeah, exactly. The surfing was really a breeze. I kind of lucked out on it because just waiting till the last minute to do it, if it was a topic that I wasn't interested in, I probably wouldn't have gotten it done.
Right.
Because that was 5 pages of writing about something that I love to do. And that's really helpful for anyone. If you're choosing to do a topic and your teacher is kind of vague on it and lets you choose what you want to write about, but following their guidelines, always choose something that interests you. Don't do something that you think the teacher will like.
Yeah, make sure you're into that too.
Because the teachers can like read your voice when you're writing an essay. And they can see how into it you are and how into it you aren't. Like if you're talking like a robot on a subject you're not that into, they can definitely tell. Because they've been doing this for a really long time. That I've learned just from my English teacher in particular. He really knows what's going on. And he's been doing this for so long, he can tell if you're really passionate about something or if you're not.
Right. You can definitely tell by the tone of your essay or whatever it is, whatever kind of project you're doing. They'll know if you're into it or if you're just working hard to come up with words to put on paper.
Yeah, pretty much just bull on paper. You just write whatever they want. You just kind of throw it out of the way. And that's no fun because that's how a lot of people get stressed out. They're just kind of...
You gotta find ways to make the hard things fun for you, so it's not as much of a workload.
Yeah, because
it's more enjoyable.
Yeah, doing the hard things hard enough, you want to make it at least somewhat enjoyable for yourself instead of going in autopilot and just doing whatever you think makes your teacher happy. They get more happy when you just be yourself and write about things that are more interesting to you, because that's more real life related.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Mm-hmm. An example, you're in macroeconomics, right?
Yes.
You did a project for that, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't.
Was that based off of just like guidelines that
you
gave?
Yeah, it was guidelines.
You
we didn't come
pick
no.
it. So it wasn't like what I did?
No.
I see. So the next point that I wanted to kind of talk about that was really good was all the Google sites that really help out. Like you have Google Docs, Google Sheets, Google Slides. And Google Docs is really, really good because in the past I used to use the conventional kind of writing softwares. And these have worked particularly good because you can share them with people and other people can edit them. And you can give it to your teacher. So like if you want to give your essay or share it, to your teacher, they can go in and kind of edit it for you, your rough drafts, before you turn in that hard copy, which is really nice. And it has a really good spell checking. It does pretty much everything that you would want your Word software to do.
And it saves it automatically, which is good in case your computer dies or crashes or something.
Yeah.
It'll be saved.
And since it's all interconnected, you have it all there for you at any time. So like you said, if your computer is crashing or if something happens, it's always saved.
And you can access it from any computer as long as you have your password and username.
Yeah, and you can access it from any computer. That's right. And
even from your phone.
Yeah, and from your phone you can look at it too. And the school gave us our extra email or @dominican.edu students. or whatever it is.
Right.
At Gmail, whatever it is. And that gave you another drive, a Google Drive account. So you got, because it comes with, I believe it's a 15 gigabyte storage at the beginning. And now that you have those two accounts, it's not taking up all the space on your original Google account. Now you have a separate student one, which you can start all over again doing your work in. So your Google Docs, and then moving on to Google Sheets is kind of like a replacement for Excel.
Excel, yeah.
And I wasn't really that familiar with Excel. I haven't used it in the past. Have you used it that much, like in high school or anything?
Not too much in high school. Maybe a couple times, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, but have you used Google Sheets probably a lot more?
Yes.
Yeah, Google Sheets is pretty much the same thing. Like I said, Google Docs is a lot like Word. Google Sheets is a lot like Excel. And that one's actually one of the more important things to know. For my math class, I'm in quantitative reasoning, and we've done a lot of Google Sheets and a lot of percentages and data sets. And that's actually really important for the work world, because after high school, you have to make a lot of these for presentations, or just if you're recording stats for your company or anything maybe money related, those are really, really important to use. And then the last one is Google Slides.
Which is basically like PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah, it's basically like PowerPoint. The fundamental thing of all these that are related to Google is that it's just kind of like a cloud having everything saved, and it works extremely well just for school in general, just having these saved, and for life outside of school once you move on. I would definitely be using these in my adult working world, and I'm glad that this university's kind of taught us how to use these and has integrated them into our academics, because back in high school we didn't really use them that much at all.
Right.
And yeah, they're pretty much just all saved there. And then I wanted to move on to another point that I wanted to make, was remaining positive throughout whatever you do. You always want to make sure you remain positive, because a lot of students I've seen around are kind of in a slump or talking about how stressed they are or how much work they have to do. I think just remaining positive and not so much complaining all the time, because I'm at fault of this too. I like to complain about how difficult it is to do all that I'm doing.
I think we all do. I mean, it's easy to like see like the negative things, but it's a lot harder to look at like the positive things and like what you have.
That the fact that you're at a college.
You're at, many people like don't even get that opportunity. So that's one thing you should be thankful of.
Yeah. Just looking at the positives of just being here and everything that you've been given and all the opportunities that you have. So it's easy to kind of just slump and complain, because it does get hard. It's hard for everyone. We're all in this
together.
Yeah,
it does get stressful and it does get discouraging, but you just have to take it one step at a time and focus on one thing and just look at the big picture.
Yeah. And not just moping around, because I'm the kind of person who's always kind of disapproved of it, complaining in the past. I don't like complaining. I don't like hearing other people complain. But at times I find myself doing it, and I need to catch myself before getting into that mood. Because it's
once you start, it's hard to stop, and you could just get into this poor, pitiful me state where you're complaining and just feeling bad for yourself, and just that gets you nowhere in life.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who are in that situation right now. And I don't know how it was so much in the past at universities, but especially with our generation, it seems like there's a lot of people who are saying they're stressed and a lot of complaining right now. And I just wanted to kind of preach that everyone needs to remain positive out there, and that we really are in this together. That it's not just you going through it, because when you complain, you're kind of just talking about your problems. And the person you're talking to about it, you may have no idea that they're probably going through the same thing you are.
Or worse.
Or they could even have it worse,
they
and they're
could,
hearing you complaining about how big your project is, and they could be having a million things going on, whether it's back at home or
health issues or anything
like that. Exactly. So just think about that when you're just think about the good things that you have in your life and the positive things that you have, instead of talking about how bad it is sometimes, because we really are blessed at this university and all the things that we do have.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm going to take my second break. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, DJ KP, and...
Lily.
We'll be back in a minute.
Just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes.
This is Study Time, live at 6:29 p.m. We were just going over college life, complaining, trying to stay positive, workloads. And what I kind of want to talk about now, is how much harder it is now than it was in the past. And Lily, do you kind of know
about that
personally?
It's getting, more and more people are going to college, so it's obviously making everything a lot more competitive, so you really have to step up your game.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to get into graduate school or go on to do something else, you just have to.
The application process is so, what's the word for it? So difficult now, pretty much.
It requires a lot more from you now than it did 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, because so many people are getting college degrees now.
Well, it wasn't as important back then,
right?
I heard a professor say that a college degree now is pretty much what a high school diploma was back in the day. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
And the hours that you have to put in now and how much more difficult it is and how much more competitive the job world is compared to how it used to be. Because mm-hmm. you could usually just go into a labor job or something along those lines and you'd probably be okay back in the day, but that doesn't really cut it anymore.
Right.
Is there anything more you'd like to say about just the process of going through it? We've both gone through it, the apps and how stressful those are.
Yeah.
Just in our senior years, just trying to fill all those out and how much time is spent on filling out each of those apps and how expensive it is. Sending those in, I think, is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that's like the norm now. Like in order to have like a successful future, it's like basically have to go to college and get some sort of degree.
Yeah, you can't.
That's kind of the world we live in now.
Yeah, and a lot of people just kind of give up. Unfortunately, that's the point I want to make of staying positive. I know a lot of people who don't fall all the way through with college, like they don't have the time. And you have these people coming back to college when they're a lot older, when they finally found the time. But it's a little late at this point. Because I have some people in my classes who are pretty old, who are just now coming back to college trying to get their degrees, which I find kind of crazy, really.
Yeah, I mean, at that age, you want to, like, have a family and, like, be, like, settled down and stuff, not just now starting your education. I mean, in my opinion, it's different for everyone, but...
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I think they realize that, but it's just a little late. Like, they probably just got settled in and got the money for it at this point, mm-hmm. or maybe they're taking big loans, which is a whole different subject to talk about. I don't want to get that much into money or anything right now on the show.
Right.
I want to stick it back to just... how difficult college is.
Right. No, it definitely is a lot tougher than it was now, and that makes it easier to get discouraged and give up, but you just have to stay positive and keep your eyes on the prize. You have to be motivated to get through it. And
yeah, and it's so confusing figuring out the common app and everything that you have to go through and getting that list together and what you want to do. It takes literally forever to get that all done.
Right.
And then you have the individual schools, which you have to show up. I mean, sorry, not show up for. Apply to.
And they have their own.
And they have a whole separate thing. I like the Common App because it didn't make it as complicated. It had more of a simple-based way to do everything. Like you did one essay and it might send it to the different schools for you.
Yes.
Whereas... I don't know an example of a school that... Do you know just an example of a school that wasn't part of the Common App that had a whole different...
Oregon State.
Oregon State, yeah. For example, you had to... So once you filled out the Common App, you had your schools that related to that. Then you had to go on and do a whole different thing for Oregon State, which is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I really appreciate the Common App and just how more convenient it was. And just getting everything done.
I know
that Chapman... Oh, yeah.
Chapman was
depending on your major, you had to do even more essays depending on what you wanted to do. So from my personal experience, I was kind of looking into the film programs. Chapman had you write a completely separate essay just for that film program.
Right.
Which makes your life just so much harder. I feel like colleges could congregate and just kind of talk about how much work they're assigning in general. Like maybe a professors could do that just to make our lives just a bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like they don't, maybe they probably do know how much work each of them are assigning on a personal level, but they're just trying to weed out who the best of the best is, you know?
Right.
So the next point I wanted to touch on, and I know you have personal experience with this, just talking about how much more competitive and difficult it's gotten, is the PA program. Do you want to talk about that a little bit
for
any of those health sciences major listeners out there?
Yeah, so I want to go into a PA program, which is physician assistant. It's like a 2-year graduate program, master's degree, and it's becoming a lot more popular. We actually had a speaker come today, and she was talking about how there were 4,000 applicants for only 44 spots available, so that's pretty discouraging to hear.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, a little bummed out about that, but I mean...
Was that 4,000 applicants for...
Just the PA program.
In Dominican?
No, this was a different school. This was Samuel Merritt.
Okay. Do you know the numbers for Dominican?
No.
Okay. So continue, sir.
But anyway, yeah, so that was a little bit discouraging. But yeah, when you hear stuff like that, it's like, oh, why am I trying, blah, 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 and you can get all like down and negative and stuff. And yeah, I was negative, and I was complaining to Kevin for a little bit about that. But then it's like, okay, well, you know, like I signed up for this. This is what I want to do. It's not going to be easy.
Well, at least you're starting earlier. You're only a freshman. You're hearing this, so you kind of know.
Yeah, I mean, it is stressful.
Get it together, because if you're a senior just hearing this, imagine. I can't imagine for any of the seniors listening who are in the same boat as you are hearing that and trying to figure out or thinking back on what they could have done differently in the past.
So it's, like, difficult, like, trying to get everything, like, clinical hours are really important when applying. So it's difficult trying to, like, figure out how you're going to get, like, 1,000 clinical hours at least and still, like,
have
a social life.
That's where connections are really important.
Right.
Finding the right connections. Like, I hooked Lily up with a connection from one of my friends back in L.A. to hopefully get you some of those hours.
Right.
And that's kind of an important thing we can touch on a little bit, is how important connections are.
Yeah.
Just to get you ahead in life at any point. Because most of the time, things that I've achieved in my life or gotten through is usually through social skills or communicating. Whereas it's different maybe for you. I feel like you've definitely worked harder and done the more academic side. And I've done a lot of social and communicating to kind of get farther up in where I need to go and then learned as I went along. Do you kind of want to talk on that a bit? Oh, do you want to talk more about the PA program a little bit? Or?
No, that's about it. Just like how competitive it is. It's discouraging, but I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah. And did you, just talking about connections, do you have any examples of how connections maybe helped you or how they can help people who are listening? Because we always hear about it from our professors, how important connections are.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, like, you know, if you, like, know someone that can help you, like, in the field or whatever. For example, like, I'm trying to, like, internship or shadow a PA, so.
Mm-hmm. And internships are really important.
Yeah, but, like, knowing people and, like, having a good relationship with them and stuff can, like, get you to...
Get you to where you want
to
be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and don't forget about how important the connections can be through your parents, because my parents have helped me with a lot of connections, whether it's through video work or other related things like that. They've gotten me good deals on whether it's a camera or other various items. They kind of always just kind of knew the right people. So don't be afraid to...
Shout out to all the parents out there.
Yeah, don't be afraid to call back home if you need anything connections-wise. Or maybe they know people in your job market. You never know, because you got to ask. And that goes for pretty much everyone you know. Don't be afraid to ask your professors, friends even. Like, I have friends back home, like I said, that could help Lily out with her hours that she needed for her patients. So don't ever lose contact with those original friends you had from high school. We've all kind of branched out and gone to different places in college, but keeping in contact with them is really important, because you never know where they're going to go or what they're going to do, and they could really help you out in the future.
Yeah.
Do you agree? Just kind of keep...
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's important.
Just wherever they go, you never know who could start up like a big business, and maybe you're having trouble finding a job and they can give you a part-time job for a while just as you're looking. I've kind of always thought about that with my original friend group, because we've all branched out to different colleges. And I think
you definitely want to keep your options open.
Yeah, you always want to keep the options together. Like a couple of my friends, naming no names specifically, but some have gone over to the East Coast to MIT or USC and various other places in Texas, SMU. And some are going into video and have changed their fields and doing other things, but I know to just kind of not necessarily call them and bug them, but just kind of shoot them a text or a Snapchat every once in a while just to keep in contact. Just to keep friendly.
Because you might need them later in life.
Yes, not so much that, but just... Yeah, well, that's true too, but just kind of keeping that friendship strong in case you do need that later in life.
Right.
And I'm not saying don't fake your friendship with them or anything, but just make sure you have a broad horizon of the people that you know. Or not... Verizon. A broad horizon of the people you know, so that you can always have someone in backup there if you ever need them, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that.
Have you personally been doing that, just kind of keeping up with your friends through Snapchat and other things?
What friends? Just kidding.
Oh, jeez.
I have.
In what ways have you just been kind of...
Just like Snapchats and texts and stuff.
Yeah. Pretty much what I was saying earlier. And then, yeah, just make sure you're not bugging them, though. And the occasional phone calls are good, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And Facebook is probably...
Facebook is definitely a good way.
Facebook's really good, just in case you don't have their contact information. Just kind of shooting them, like, a messenger or whatever once in a while.
Yeah, no, really I definitely agree well. With that.
Instagram, maybe not so much, because I feel like there's a lot of fake talking
Facebook
on Instagram.
Facebook is good, though.
It's not really a good site to communicate with people. Like, if you're just leaving a comment on someone's picture, you're not really getting much out of that. Like,
definitely direct communication.
Yeah, just throwing like an emoji on there or something's not gonna keep the bond strong between you and those fake things you say.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then, what was the other point we wanted to talk on? Was it just, how to deal with the stress that we're talking about earlier. That's right. I had it written down right there. Dealing with the stress and some ways you can do that is just kind of, I was thinking about this, walking outside, taking a break. Taking a break.
Having some you time.
Yeah, when you procrastinate till the last second, like I kind of did earlier, you don't even have time to take a break. Because at least when you start it early, you'll have time to take breaks in between. If you're waiting till the last minute to do that, you don't even have time for any breaks. And it gets really stressful on you, and that's how people build up their stress. It doesn't happen on one project. It happens over a period of time. Usually around the time finals come, that's the worst time for stress. We haven't experienced that yet, being freshmen, but I can imagine that's a really crazy time. We had campus visits, right? Remember when we were doing campus visits during finals? And everyone was talking about how crazy it was and how stressed out they were? I think it's a whole different ball game here as opposed to high school finals.
Oh, definitely.
Like, they were stressful then, but any tip for someone with those coming up in our grade, freshmen who haven't experienced that yet, just make sure that you're soaking in everything now so that you're not cramming it all in that final period of the semester. Because we all just want to get to that winter break and go home and see our families again and relax, obviously. And we don't want to make ourselves explode with just mountains of work that we don't want
to
do before
right,
that
you need
or
to,
studying.
You need to balance it out so it's
yeah,
not
so you
too
wanna,
much at one time.
Yeah, you want to soak it all up. I was talking about my first show, listening to classical music kind of helps me absorb what I'm listening to. No lyrics or distracting things in the song. And it really helps me keep focused. And just kind of, like I said, absorbing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up to that point, and then you can take breaks throughout that time.
Right, yeah. You definitely need to take breaks. You can't just expect to, like, sit down for 6 hours and look at a book and, like, retain all that information. You need to have some fun you time, TV, sleep, whatever.
Shopping,
yeah.
Like you like to do.
Yeah.
Good shopping place?
Oh, in San Francisco, the Westfield Mall. They have a lot of nice stores there, and that's fun.
Like in Union Square?
Yeah,
everything.
Union Square is a good place to go shopping, too. That's always a fun
time. So that can be a good way to alleviate some of that stress. Me personally, it was surfing. I'm going to be doing that again soon once I get my stuff up here and find some cool spots to go. If anyone wants to hit me up and go with me, it'd be a great way to relieve some stress and have some fun. Just finding those hobbies that you like to do. I know that my neighbor in my dorm really likes to play guitar as a stress reliever.
Yeah, just find your thing that calms you down and relieves your stress and make sure you put time aside for that.
Have you heard of any kind of weird stress relievers that people do? Anything? There was this thing with like a bucket that had little, like, what were those things called?
Oh, the water beads?
Yeah. Those are good stress relievers.
Yeah, those things are pretty fun. You have these like little ball things that you like put in water and they...
What do they do exactly? They, like, absorb all the
water? They absorb all the water, and then you just, like, stick your hand in there, and just, like, it's just, like, I don't know.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's really relaxing.
It's
Just doing that. It's I think everyone time. Should do that. Just get a bucket of these beads, right? That soak up water. Have those by your studying desk, like your left hand. You can just like stick it into the beads to relax. And then you can write with your other hand.
Yeah, it's that's yeah.
And then one other way to kind of alleviate stress for the upperclassmen is driving. I like to do road trips. I don't have my car up here right now, but once I do, I'd really like to do some road trips.
Yeah, you just have to like find your thing and stick to that, whether it's exercising, road trips, or playing with little water beats.
And one of the coolest places to go on a road trip is specifically, I haven't been able to go north lately, but in the south, I really like to drive up to Mammoth. We had a cabin up there that was a really cool place to hang out and kind of go on hikes, which is another great way to alleviate that stress, is just going camping or going to hikes and taking in nature, which is really nice, and just listening to a good song. So we're going to take our last break now, and we're going to come on with a little conclusion and summary of what we talked about. So you're listening to radio.dominican.edu with DJ KP and Lily. We'll be back in a bit. DJ KP back on the air. This is Study Time, live at 6:50 p.m. We're just doing a little summary on good stress relievers. And I wanted to give a shout out to DJ 1UP, who's coming up next at 7 o'clock. So make sure you stick around and listen to his show. So Lily, I know that you wanted to talk about the best stress reliever there is. And what is that?
Cats.
So you want to talk a little bit about cats?
Yeah, I mean, you know, scientific studies have proven That petting.
That petting cats are probably the best thing that you can do. And also on the way here, we actually saw some golden doodles, which Lily really wanted to pet, that are a really cool dog and animal that can really help release that stress and is really good for just helping out. And their ears are really soft and nice to feel. So pretty much on that last point, I just kind of want to summarize what we talked about today, which was just earlier in the show I was talking about balancing being a student athlete as saying that I am a lacrosse athlete and balancing all that I need to do, balancing that my job that I need to do. For all you who kind of missed that, the show is on the website if you want to re-listen to that. We talked about the good Google Docs and the spreadsheets and everything that
you can use
that are really
good. Taking advantage of all those. Oh, procrastination.
Procrastination, how bad that is. And the last point that I want to talk about today was getting as good as possible as you can at writing essays. Because we write a lot of essays at the university. Do you want to talk about that just a little bit? How many? I've written personally 6 essays already.
I've written very few. I'm not in an English class this year, so that's probably why.
Yeah, considering I'm a communications major, I've definitely written a lot of essays.
For my religion class, we've written lots of mini... I wouldn't even really call them essays. They're more kind of just reflections.
Mm-hmm. But you want to make sure you get really good at those and really listen to your English teacher, depending on whatever class you have right now. You want to make sure you're getting as good as you possibly can at writing these essays. Make sure that you learn that MLA format by heart and you have that written down at the beginning.
Owl Purdue is a great website for that.
What's it called?
Owl Purdue.
You heard it from like Owl Purdue. It's a really good
It has like all the different MLA guidelines and other formats on there too. So if you ever forget, just go to Owl Purdue.
Mm-hmm. Remember that. And make sure that you know the correct way to write them, using the correct thesis statement, the correct conclusion, the correct body paragraphs, and everything else.
Yeah.
All right. That was Study Time with DJ KP. Stay tuned for DJ 1UP, who is up next. It is currently 6:53. Thanks for listening.